You're listening to Classical Mornings with Mike and Jean here at the new Classical FM. Now, Giller Prize winning for the novel Us Conductors, author Shawn Michaels has released his second novel. It's called The Wagers, published by Penguin Random House. And in it, the main character, Theo Potrias, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, believes in luck. He works at his family's supermarket by day and does stand-up comedy at night, but he only performs a set if he wins a bet at the racetrack beforehand. And although he briefly saw some minor success with his comedy, his career has kind of fizzled. In fact, luck seems more and more to be passing him by. And after his mother passes away suddenly and his cousin, or his niece, I believe, wins millions at the racetrack he bets weekly at, no less, he puts his dreams on hold to try and find a way to improve his luck. And he discovers that luck exists in a physical form, improving the fortune of anyone who possessing it. And Shawn Michaels joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Morning.
Oh, I got to turn on your microphone.
There. Good morning.
There we are. Fantastic. Now, Merriam-Webster defines superstition as a belief or practice resulting from ignorance, fear of the unknown, trust in magic or chance. And this perfectly describes the rules that Theo, at the beginning of the book, lives by. Never does a comedy set, as I mentioned, unless he wins a bet. Never, ever tells the same joke twice. I mean, this is all of us, isn't it? Consciously or not, we all have these little Patrick Waugh talking to the goalpost kind of moments.
Yeah, I think that even as much as we're all kind of, most of us are touched by superstition, little things we might do or inadvertently do. But even if it's not the kind of, I always wear the same shirt whenever I want to do something special, something like that, I feel like we have a kind of magical thinking about what we deserve, when we deserve it. Yeah. If something bad has happened in our lives, we wait for that, you know, our lives to turn around. We expect that return to order, which of course is maybe just completely arbitrary and in our heads.
Oh, exactly. The great thing I found about this book is that it starts out one way and then suddenly turns on a pivotal event. In this case, it's the winning of the unimaginable amount of money at a racetrack. And I have to tell you, it is so refreshing to read a novel where something good happens that changes the novel instead of the expected, you know, tragedy or death or whatever. Was that a conscious effort on your part?
I think it was, yeah. I one of the lessons of my life is certainly that unexpectedly good things can happen.
Yes.
We think a lot about we've all experienced sudden tragedies and moments of, you know, unexpected sorrow. But there are also miracles that happen and they're happy accidents. And,
right.
You know, in a certain way, every time we've ever made a friend, every time we've ever fallen in love, all of those are also these kind of moments of serendipity. And to use that as a kind of intersection point for the book.
Right. It was just so refreshing. But and the other cool thing is that at this point in your novel, I mean, you do some serious research into a scientific explanation for luck. I mean, we've got algorithms, repeated tendencies. Did you do a lot of research into this?
Yeah, I mean, all different kinds of research. There was research into sports analytics and understanding the algorithms of fortune and hockey and horse races. There was stand-up comedy. I went to a lot of bad comedy. As you said, Theo is not Theo is a comic who doesn't have consistent success, and I wanted to look at what that looks like in the faces of the comedians who are going up and they're still trying, still developing their craft, still honing it, and watch them as they leave the stage in triumph or in failure. Yeah.
Did you do any comedy?
I did. I did. Finally, I worked up enough chutzpah to get on stage and try my own stand-up set.
And how did that go?
Well, I mean, it did go okay, but I will say, I mean, it was terrifying. It was completely terrifying. As a book, I get to put a book out into the world, and you know, if you don't like my book, you're not sitting there in front of me with your arms folded in judgment. You're on the radio, you know, you're not seeing the public. But that was like, okay, now I'm going to tell you a joke that I've written, and we will see how it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Any chance you'll continue to explore that avenue?
Oh, yeah. I know I have a really safe fallback if the book writing thing doesn't work out. Just be a comedian, yeah.
Now, I mean, one of the things we spoke about, you know, you said from your own personal experience, the character of Daniel is a very interesting character, a first-time novelist who hits it big. I mean, I was reading this and I'm like, he can't be taking a dig at himself, is he? And are you?
I think, I mean, Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yeah. I mean, so I won the Gaylor Prize unexpectedly with my first book, and it really, you know, it sent me spinning. It was one of these really truly happy accidents.
Sure.
But it also kind of does your head in to have something suddenly wonderful happen because you start asking why, you know, the why.
Right.
To what degree did I deserve this? To what degree was it inevitable? To what degree was it an accident or chance or fortune? And it's kind of hard to see to understand yourself or to be certain of where you stand in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted to explore that in a way that poked fun, you know, that wasn't over serious and that poked fun. And so there is an award-winning Canadian novelist, but where he appears in the book, it's when as a gang of thieves attempt to rob him blind.
The gang of thieves, I mean, this vigilante slash terrorist group who are out to steal the physical form of luck from people to distribute it to those less lucky around the world. I mean, that's a brilliant thing. But again, and another pivot in this book where I cursed in front of my son as I was reading it. I mean, that's great. How did the actual physical presence of luck, something that you can hold in your hand, how did that come to you?
I mean, I love books where there's, you could say, a sudden left turn or something, but the feeling for me is always that idea of a trap door opening up. Mm. You think you're in a place, a room, and suddenly a trap door opens up and you realize there's a whole floor, a whole world beneath you.
Right.
And I really like the idea of writing a book that begins as a kind of a relatively naturalistic sort of family drama and is realistic with kind of real human emotions and stakes and relationships, and then gets gradually more exaggerated, exciting, becomes more and more of an adventure until by the end of the book, it's a motorcycle chase through the desert.
Yeah.
And so in some ways, I knew I wanted that kind of structure. And then you start to think, how could I get there? And how can I do it in a way that tickles me, that when I think about and imagine the way the story could go, what gives me a certain pleasure? What would I like to read? And the idea of, thieves who can use luck, who have luck in their backpacks to help them in their heists seemed like a great idea.
It was really a great swing. I really, really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
But going back, I just want to go back for a second to the character of Daniel, and you're saying like deserving luck and such. Did you, after winning the Giller, have what I like to call a Michael Jackson moment in that you were so successful with a certain thing, in this case, us conductors, was doing a follow-up, you know, working on your second novel, did that put any added pressure on you?
It did and it didn't. I think I was surprisingly resilient in terms of not having undue expectations for my follow-up, knowing that there was, like, kind of recognizing that pressure and trying to dismiss it. And in a lot of ways, writing a book after success is much, much, much easier because you just...
Really?
Well, you're just... you're more secure in the world. I mean, being an artist is a really precarious existence. This time I was writing a book, you know, a tiny bit every day, but I knew it would be published one day. I knew there would be readers one day, and that just gives a certain kind of confidence. But really, I think the biggest challenge and pressure was the way that... a big success kind of just leaves you tottering for a long time and that not being quite certain of who you are or what you could expect of yourself.
Okay, let me ask you one final question. Do you, Shawn Michaels, believe in luck?
No, of course not. I'm not a superstitious person. I'm a very skeptical, scientific, analytical mind.
Right,
and then
right.
I remember when the day the book came out, a black cat crossed my path.
Get out.
And I was just frozen in place thinking, is this a bad sign? But my book has a black cat on the cover. Is it a good sign? And just I was, okay, this stuff goes deep in me as well.
That's
in my bones.
That's great. Are you working on a follow-up?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
All right. Well, I look forward to the day that you do.
Thank you so much.
Because this is a wonderful read. I want to thank you so much for coming in today, and thank you for talking to us about it.
It was a pleasure.
Been speaking to Shawn Michaels, author, Giller Prize winning Shawn Michaels, author of The Wagers, published by Random House Canada. Wherever you buy books, be it online, in a physical store, run out and pick it up because you will not be disappointed.